And I read, and the very next verse was Jeremiah 29:12, which says, "But I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope." And the very message before that was somebody who came along to Israel when they were captive and said, "You guys stink. God wants me to tell you, you stink. You're only here because it's your own stinking fault. And if you hadn't rebelled, you wouldn't be here. And you are going to rot in this country. Thus saith the Lord." And God says, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That didn't come from me. I know the plans that I have. And they're for good. Yeah, you deserve to rot in the stinking country, but I have other plans for you." Sometimes the way that the logos of God becomes the rhema of God, it depends on how I read it. Am I reading it, asking him to speak to me? Am I just doing it mechanically, like reading my horoscope? Am I doing it expecting that my living God is going to speak to me? I don't think it's ever a mistake to ask for confirmation. I think that in certain, I've heard Pastor Chuck say this, and I've read Charles Spurgeon saying the same thing. When I am extremely emotionally involved in any crisis, I don't completely trust my sense of God's voice. I do trust the Bible. And I think that's interesting, coming from two very godly men. And God is certainly able to fling a scripture into my head at just the right time. He's also able to speak to me all by himself what I need to hear in any given moment, and it can still be the sword that the Spirit wields, defending me against the lies and distortions of the devil, which are ceaseless, protecting me and giving me something to fight back with. Just like Jesus did. That's what I find really interesting. Satan's doing his distorting, his lying thing. What did Jesus fight with? Was it like the cosmic smackdown? You know, Jesus strips off his toga and says, "All right, you want a piece of this?" And, you know, and next thing you know, they're duking it out like Superman and Lex Luthor, you know, or something like that. No, Jesus just fought back with the sword of the Spirit. And it says, and the devil left him for a more opportune moment. Okay, verse 18. I think I'm doing good here. I think I can finish this. And the NIV says, pray always in the Spirit. And there's a lot of stuff to look at in this phrase. The "and pray" I like in one respect, although the word "and" isn't in there. In the Greek text, the intention is to try to say that there's a continuation of the thought. And the NIV does a good job at that. In Greek, it's a present participle, which also is a continuation of the same train of thought. Put on the whole armor of God, ... list six things, praying always in the Spirit. And I think it's not a stretch at all to say that that would also be a weapon that I can use. The best thing about prayer is not my prayer. The best thing about my prayer is who's listening, who it engages in the conflict. They don't have to be eloquent prayers. One of the shortest prayers in the entire Bible saved a guy from drowning. It was when Peter took his eyes off the Lord and started sinking, and all he had time to say was, "Lord, help me." That was good enough. And pray always. I wanted to read you from the Amplified Bible one of my favorite scriptures about prayer and the Holy Spirit. Because the phrase "pray in the Spirit," every place Paul uses that phrase, and he uses it often, It means to pray under the influence and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You flip the coin over, what would be the opposite of praying in the Spirit? Be praying in the flesh, wouldn't it? Which a lot of our prayers are prayers in the flesh. We're praying for the wrong thing. They're effectual, fervent whining and not really being led or influenced by the Holy Spirit at all. Amazing how merciful and kind God is. But that phrase, pray always in the Spirit, means under the influence and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you Romans 8, 26 and 27 out of my Amplified Bible. It's just fat and rich. So the Holy Spirit comes to our aid, bears us up in our weakness, because we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought to. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings that are too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. I'm going to read that again. Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. Some places when Paul talks about praying in the Spirit, he's speaking about praying in a heavenly language, which anti-Pentecostals have a big problem with that. Because Paul says, I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray with understanding also. Which means that there, for Paul, was a way of praying that didn't involve the conscious engagement of his conscious mind. He made a deal with the Lord. Lord, I don't have the words for this. I need the Holy Spirit to pray for me. And then, like what happened on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave him the words. And if you've got a problem with that, I feel bad for you, because I think sometimes that's the thing that saves my neck. I don't know what to say. I just know something needs to be said. I do take Romans 8, 26 and 27 to mean that the Holy Spirit knows what I mean. And God knows that the Holy Spirit in me that he gave to me is going to pray in accordance with his will. So if all I can do is just, if all I can do is groan, it's like the Holy Spirit standing there says, what my friend from Africa is trying to say is, you know, he interprets for me that groaning. I do that a lot. I have to admit, I just love Romans 8, 26. It says, we don't always know how to pray. And I thought, whew, I thought I was supposed to. No, that's why you have the Holy Spirit. That's why it's a weapon that you've been given, to have the Holy Spirit be the one that connects you to the Lord. So when do I do this? Here's the repetition ad nauseum in the scripture. When? On all occasions, always, with all kinds of prayer, keep on praying. So I would think the real question is when to stop. I think you don't stop until God tells you to stop. Remember 1 Thessalonians again, it says, pray without ceasing. Now in the old days, in legalism, where I thought prayer involved a certain position of the body, Would you stop your car, get out, get on your knees, you do your hands like this? No, it just meant be in that constant running communication with the Lord. In the broadest sense, prayer isn't just speaking to God. Prayer is conversing with God, which means I'm also ready for him to answer me, however he chooses to do it. We sang a song about it. One of my favorite lyrics in all of the old mountain hymns. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we don't take everything to God in prayer. We just deal with it. And God says, you know that pain you're feeling there, son? That's needless pain. You know that complete turmoil you have? You just forfeited your peace. Why? He says, because you didn't talk to me. You just deal with it. You know the thing, I've told you the story many times about struggling with something and staying awake night after night after night. And finally, one of my friends says, well, Bob, have you prayed about it? And I says, how? I prayed about it. I prayed about it all night. And he says, no, you didn't. You just worried in front of God. That's not the same as prayer. You're just tossing back and forth, and you're just worrying out loud, but you're not really talking to a person like he's going to say something to you. You're not unburdening yourself to your best friend. You're just worrying in front of God. So pray in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Ask the Spirit to lead you under His influence on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. I like the phrase be alert that's thrown in here because it literally means be purposeful, be fully engaged, have your wits about you, and keep on praying. Don't give up. Didn't Jesus say that more than once? When he was teaching on prayer, remember his disciples, he says, don't give up. Boy, that's a whole sermon all in itself is why to not give up. Does God have to be reminded? Well, that's not for his benefit. That keeps me connected because I wander. I'm so distractible. One of the things I want to say about prayer, I think I've got 7 more minutes or so, don't I? This is an original thought that came to me, and you have my permission to test it and see whether it resonates as being from the Lord. But for me, of all of the weapons that God's given me to use, the one thing that feels the most like it's not working is prayer. In fact, the longer I pray, the more it feels like it's not working. And the thoughts flow through my head, stop it, it's not working. You don't have enough faith or sin in your life or whatever the reason, but it's not working. And I remember one time I was going through that loop, just ready to throw my weapon down. And the Lord said, now, Bob, take a deep whiff. See if you smell brimstone. Because he says, why would I tell you to stop praying? Why would I tell you it's not working? And if it's not me telling you to stop and it's not working, then who is it? And if it's your enemy telling you to stop, it's not working, why would he say that? Ding! Because it's working. I may not see it working. That doesn't mean it's not working. It means I'm hitting it. It's like the two foxholes. You're in your foxhole. The devil's in his foxhole. You pop up, bang, 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 bang. The devil in his foxhole is out of bullets. So what he does is he gets his little bullhorn and he says, throw down your weapons. You're a lousy shot. I'm going to win anyway. And the only reason he's saying that is because he's out of bullets. And we go, oh, okay. And we set our gun down, and he wins. Because we stop shooting. We stop praying. And there's got to be a reason why Scripture says so often to persist. But we're so pathetic, aren't we? Now, I have to admit, our Heavenly Father knows and understands us. And when he says, keep praying, he's not scolding us. She's just saying, don't give up. It may be doing more good than you think. Everything could change tomorrow. Look at all the stories in the Bible of people who prayed and 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 prayed. And they just kept going even when other people says, forget it. Which brings up another interesting question. When is it too late for God to do something? I can tell you 3 people to ask. Ask Lazarus, whose body was decomposing, which doesn't mean he was rewriting a song. It means he was literally decomposing. Ask Abraham. when it's too late. With Abraham and Sarah, God purposefully waited till it was too late by human means and the laws of biology. Ask Joseph when it's too late. See, it's never too late if we're asking for God's timing. So don't stop praying just because you think it's too late. Here's the other thing. I'm not going to look at anybody in particular because I know it's all of our problems. Do not set deadlines. That's so foolish. Where you say, God, I absolutely have to know something by Tuesday. And God just says, okay. I will take that under advisement. However, in my perfect timing, I know it's not going to happen until Wednesday, so good luck with that 24-hour period where you're going to think that, you know, that I failed. You know what I mean? Deadlines are stupid. If I trust God's timing, I just keep praying and I don't set deadlines. Two reasons that are the wrong reasons to stop praying. Number one is discouragement. Never stop praying because you're discouraged. I can promise you if we are praying in the Spirit, we will never stop because of discouragement. The Spirit won't let us. The other reason to not stop praying is unanswered prayer. Some of you never got to know Blaney. Blaney just died, I think, this last year, and he lived 40 years longer than they ever said he was going to because of he was mentally retarded. But Blaney and I were watching Monday Night Football one time. We were talking about the coming of the Lord, and he would always ask me, he said, Bob, you think Jesus will come today? And I said, man, I hope so. And he says, I do too. But he said, you know, people are always telling me when I tell them I hope Jesus comes today that, well, people have been saying that for 50 years. And he said, you know what I think? He says, then that means we're 50 years closer. And I thought, Blaney, that is brilliant. Don't stop praying just because you haven't seen the answer yet. It's a huge leap of erroneous logic to say that if you haven't seen the answer yet, the answer is not coming. That doesn't even make sense. That's not even logical. You could be, you know, 50 years closer to the answer. Good stuff, huh? This is what God's given us to defend ourselves. And of course, it's all held together. All my weapons are at hand and ready for me to use if I'm being real and not playing a game. I'm protecting myself because of my righteousness, which is given to me by the Lord. I'm not doing anything to pollute it. I'm protecting my core. And I'm sure-footed because I know that all hostilities have ended between God and I. That's settled ground. I'm stable. And I'm able to defend myself by simply trusting in God. And even that stuff that comes out of nowhere, before it catches fire and destroys me, I'm able to go tsst by simply trusting in God. And I can protect my head by remembering who I belong to. I'm saved. I know what my destination is. I know where I'm going. I know who I belong to. And then let the Spirit of God give you the Word of God to defend yourself, to attack your enemy, and always pray in the Spirit. Always, all occasions, all kinds of prayers. Even groans work. Good stuff, huh? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for this passage. I was glad you were persistent because I just whizzed right through it for decades and decades and thought, I can't understand this. And I'm glad, Lord, that you showed me that this is something I need to understand and avail myself of because it's your thoughtfulness. You've given me everything I need to stand in the day of evil, even when it comes totally unexpectedly. So bless my brothers and sisters, Lord, the ones that are here, the ones that stayed home because they're discouraged, that are going to hear it later, those that are going to hear it in a recorded form, Lord, speak these words to our hearts. And let us be doers, not just hearers of the word. I love you for this, Lord. Thank you for all the testimonies we heard today about how you gave us just the right thing at just the right time. Keep doing that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming.